in it. And so I thank God for the opportunity. When you get there, can you say amen? Keep that up here. If you need more time, say wait. Put the balloon up here. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And the word of God says, now faith, somebody say faith, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Let us pray. Spirit of living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you will fall fresh on your servant. God, minister unto me, even as I minister to your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We pray that your word might go forth in this morning so that you might be glorified, so the people of God might be edified and Satan might be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to echo my thanks and appreciation for Brother and Sister Tyler and Brother and Sister Nelson for all that you have done to beautify this church over the course of the month and all that you have done in order to keep our Black history focus moving. And also, Sister Warner, I thank you for your leadership. Y'all can give her a round of applause. And I'll just acknowledge, you know, sometimes in churches, first ladies take that real, I'm not going to do anything but be seen mentality. And I thank God that we have a first lady who is not only vested, who's not only active, but is all in terms of the ministry that God has called her here to be. And so we thank you and we acknowledge you for all that you do for this church. I want to preach this morning from the subject, which is has been a part of our theme, the audacity of hope. And I actually had to be honest with you, I had to go back and look, because oftentimes when we hear the word audacity, it's used in several different ways. And so as I was preparing, I said, well, let me go back to the dictionary and just make sure I'm clear on what the word audacity actually means. And as I was looking, there are actually two different definitions or two different connotations, as you can say, that the word audacity has. The first one, and the one which we're most used to, is the negative connotation, which, according to the dictionary, audacity in the negative term is rude or disrespectful behavior. Now, oftentimes, as I was growing up, and this may not be the case in Emery Grove, but when I was growing up, you know, in the church, I would always hear people say, can you believe that she had the audacity to do blank? Girl, were you in that meeting? Did you hear what the pastor said? Can you believe he had the audacity to call me out? Or, you know, you're sitting on the pew and you hear somebody lean over and say, can you believe she has the audacity to come in here with that on? Like I said, I don't know. I'm sure it wasn't that way in Emery Grove, but that's how I was when I was growing up. And so when I began to see this word audacity, I was like, well, why are they using that? Like, normally when you hear that word and the many times I've encountered that word, there's a lot of negative connotations that come with that. There's a lot of disrespect. There's a lot of degradation. There's a lot of tearing down that comes with this word audacity. But we thank God that he has given us the ability to understand, and we thank God that he has given us the ability to be able to reason. And so I read on a little bit further in the dictionary, and it gave me a positive definition. And the positive definition said the willingness to take bold risk. Somebody say the willingness. The willingness to take bold risk. Now I said, now you know, that's a shame before God. That a word that has that much power and a word that has that much conviction can be used in such a negative way. And so I would submit to you that as I look at the word of God and as I look at the theme and everything that has gone on, in this month of Black history, and that will continue to go on as we grow and as we develop as a church, I would submit to you that there is a link between the word audacity and faith. Somebody say faith. When you really look at it in the context of Hebrews chapter 11 and 1, it's such an awesome thing because it really takes us back to the root of what faith is. And so the reason why I can have the willingness to take a bold risk is because there has to be some level of faith involved in there. There has to be some level of trust, and there has to be some level of risk taking involved in there in order for us to really be or exhibit audacity in the context that we're going to talk about today. And so I want to break down very quickly. It's really only two parts today. I want to break down this verse in Hebrews chapter 11 and 1. And I would encourage you in your free time that you really read the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. It gives a clear genealogy and clear examples of those giants in ministry and those giants in the Bible who exhibited faith. And so in those moments where you might feel discouraged, in those moments where you might feel like you don't know what's going on, Hebrews 11 is your scripture that you need to keep in your pocket. It gives you clear examples and clear instances of people who were doing extraordinary things. Ordinary people like you and me. People who got up every day and went to work. People who got up every day and paid their bills. People who got up every day and went to the temple and prayed. But God used them to do extraordinary things because they had the audacity to believe. That's your homework assignment, because I don't have time to really break that down for you today. But I want to focus on, in the first part of that verse, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And, you know, I like my visuals, and so I have this balloon here. I know you all thought this was decoration, but I actually bought this today to use for my sermon. So oftentimes when we get to the point where we're hoping for things, it can seem kind of odd to us. We may have hopes that may be a little low, you know, hopes that we can reach. And we also may have hopes that are so high that we can't physically reach them by ourselves. And so the thing that I begin to realize about hope is, and how it began to tie to faith is because no matter how high my hope is, if I recognize that my hope is built or rooted and grounded in faith, then that means I can go through anything. If I recognize and realize that no matter what wind comes, and no matter who talks about me, and no matter who degrades me, and no matter who looks down at me, because I'm rooted in faith, there's some things that I can do. And you know, we've been very intentional in our preaching over the course of this year. God is calling us to a different place. And as I was preparing, God kept saying to me, you need to tell other people, pray for your pastor. Pray for him every day. Because God is speaking things to him, God is challenging him, God is stretching him in ways that he has never experienced before. And as a result of God stretching him, that automatically means by the virtue of us being here, God's going to stretch us. But because God has rooted and grounded everything that he's going to do at 8200 Emory Grove Road in faith, then it's got to happen. Now, there are going to be some haters. Y'all thought they were talking about you when the church was closing. Just wait and see what God's going to do over the course of these next couple of years. Y'all thought people were hating on you because you were putting on a new addition. Wait until God begins to do what he said that he's going to do in this place. The haters are going to come out in mass form. But because we have faith that's rooting us. Now, sometimes we may sit in meetings and say, well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but the money doesn't match up to the vision. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but the people who are here and the workforce that we need in order to get where it is that you're saying God is calling us to do, they don't match up. But because we're rooted and grounded in faith, we have the audacity to believe in big things. Because we're rooted and grounded in faith, we can look at the devil and say, not today. Because we're rooted and grounded in faith, I can look at the devil and say, you may have tried to bring up my past. You may have tried to remind me of who my mother and my father was. You may have tried to remind me that I was in a club sleeping with somebody who I didn't have no business to last night. But I'm here this morning. Because of faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The reason why I can stretch up high is because I have the assurance of knowing who the anchor of my faith is. The reason why I can reach up high and try to develop the business that God is calling me to is because he's told me who needs my help. The reason why I can reach up high and say, God, I know you're developing me to be a leader in the church, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. The reason why I can do that is because I have the faith to know that God is going to use me. It's the assurance of things hoped for. Oh, what it would look like, Mrs. Warner, if we got a church full of people who could hope. How different your financial stability would be, how different your job life would be, how different your home life would be if you rested in the assurance of knowing that God is going to work it out. I'm not a genie. I can't look into a magic ball and telling what's going on in your life. But for some of y'all need to get the root. The reason why you can't get up here is because your foundation is not sure. The reason why you can't even begin to see the things that God is doing within you is because your faith is non-existent. The reason why God cannot begin to speak vision into your life and you can't begin to hold on and to see what the pastor is talking about is because your faith is not in the right place. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. Message had to come through me. I was saying ouch all week. Ouch, 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 ouch. The assurance of things hoped for. The reason why I can have the audacity to hope is because I have the assurance of knowing. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, now unto him. Not now unto me. Not now unto Bank of America. Not to Wells Fargo, not to SunTrust, not to Capital One, not to the IRS, not to the federal government, not to President Trump, not to any of the cabinet members, but now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above whatever you could ask or imagine. And I love the second part of that. It says, according to the work and the power that is within you. God is not working anything out of your life that's not already in you. All he's doing is literally stirring up the gifts, stirring up the calling, stirring up the ministry, stirring up the thoughts and the visions that he has for you. It's already in you. That's how I can have the assurance, Brother Rob, to know that God is going to bring to pass what he said he is. Now, the devil will try to discourage you. Yes, he will. You ever thought the devil was hot on your trail? Begin to make a commitment to God. And I would even be powerful enough to say that in this next 40 days, as we are in Lent, the devil's going to come after you. As you try to turn away from the things that you used to do, as you try to give up the things that you used to do, as you try to turn your life around, the devil is going to be hot on your trail. But I'm okay with that. Because I got my faith. I'm okay with the fiery darts that are coming because I'm standing behind a shield that can protect me from anything that comes. I can take the haters talking about me because actually y'all want to be me, but you're not bold enough to get in place so that God can bless you. I have the faith and the assurance to know that God is going to move me to where it is that he wants me to be. And after we have the assurance of things hoped for, we have the conviction, somebody say conviction, of things not seen. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not really one who in some areas has an imagination. And sometimes in life, I will miss things that are not right in front of my face. And so oftentimes in our spiritual journey, God will place things. God will start allowing things to happen. God will begin to speak things into your mind. And you're like, well, why is that? God, what are you doing? I'll give you a good example. When I was at Xavier in undergrad for about a year, God began to just speak different words into my life. You know, I'd be sitting in church, and he'd be like, write that down. You know, I'd be sitting in class, and I would get a title, I would get a text, and I might even get points with it. And I was like, but God, why are you doing all this? Had nobody called me to preach. Had nobody invited me in their pulpit to speak. But God was like, just write it down. And so I was writing. At that point, we had floppy disk. Y'all who are younger, you may not know what that looks like. Those little things that you actually used to stick into the computer. and you had to press a button in order for it to come out. I had my floppy disk, and I was like, okay, God, I'm writing. I'm like, you're showing me things, and you're speaking things into my life, God. But once again, I don't have the venue through which to do it. And I'll be honest, even in that process, I was like, well, maybe I just need to stop. I'm like, you know, God is speaking all these words to me. He's speaking all these things into my spirit. You know, he's waking me up in the middle of the night. You know, he's worrying my heart. He's pricking my heart. You know, pay attention. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to put some things in you. I'm trying to put you in a place where you're able to hear me so that when you get to the point where you really need to hear me, that I don't have to keep bothering you in order to get your attention. So this kept going on for about a year. I was like, you know, about month eight, I was like, God, I'm... okay, I got about probably a whole month worth of sermons, but I don't have nowhere to preach them. You know, God, I know there's a certain protocol that in the church that I grew up in that you have to follow in order to get to the place where you can preach something. And God was like, just keep doing it. I had a conviction. It was like, even in those moments of discouragement, I was like, but God, I have a conviction that something needs to happen. God, I don't know where the words are going to come, and I don't know whose lives are going to be changed and transformed, but God, I have a conviction that something's going to change. And here we are, almost a decade later, and God has brought that manifestation to life. Here we are almost a decade later, and God continues to show me time and time and time again. Had you not had the conviction in order to get prepared for what it is I've called you to do, you might not have been here today. And so what I need you to understand is whatever God is putting in you, whatever God is imparting in you, even though you may not have the venue through which to do it, it's important that you remain obedient. Because if God is putting it in you in 2014, he might not bring it to fruition until 2020. But you need to be ready in 2020 so you won't have to go back and work 6 years in order to get to the place where God wants you to be. I'm talking to somebody. The conviction. Don't worry about what other people are saying. See, you know, and I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you just need to stop talking. Tell your neighbor, stop talking. Tell your neighbor, stop talking. We're so quick trying to tell people, oh, look what the Lord has done with me. Oh, look how God is blessing me. Oh, look at this. And, you know, you got 10% of the story and you're trying to tell 100%. And then you get mad and frustrated when people start questioning you about that 90%, and then you end up getting discouraged. If you just be quiet, tell your neighbor, be quiet. Tell your neighbor on the other side, be quiet. Sometimes in life, we just have to learn how to stop talking and start listening to what it is that God is calling us to do, so that when we open our mouth, we have the complete story, and we don't have to be apologetic to anybody about what he's telling us to do. You may need to go home and stand in the mirror and tell yourself, be quiet. I'm not telling you this because it's something I heard. I'm telling you this is because it's something I know. I'm telling you this because God will give you that conviction of things that are not seen. But even though they may not be seen, does not mean that you don't need to put the same time and energy into it and the same resources into it, so that God, when God gets to the point where he's ready to bring it to fruition, that you're not stumbling, that you're like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. God is like, I'm trying to send you out. You're like, wait a minute, Jesus, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. God is like, go talk to that person. Go encourage them. Go talk to that person on your job who may be weary and may be downtrodden and may be about to commit suicide. And the fact that you speak life into them, it can save their life. But you're like, oh, no, not me. I was talking about her in the break room last week. How am I going to go over there and encourage her? I cussed her out on the parking lot last week. How am I going to go over and encourage her? God, how am I supposed to go encourage that teacher who I've been sitting acting a fool in her classroom all semester? The conviction. Conviction is a powerful thing. If you don't have it, you better get it. It'll keep you on the right track. It'll pull you up when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. When you're with that man or that woman that you're not supposed to be with, and you hear the voice of your pastor saying, be pure and holy, that's conviction. When you see yourself pulling up to the bar and sitting on that stool, and you hear the pastor say, be pure and holy, that's conviction. When you feel yourself about to cuss somebody out and you hear the word of God say, speak life, there's life and death in the power of the tongue, that's conviction. The conviction will keep you in the process of things being seen. Now, you may say to yourself, well, Reverend Ho, I don't know. You know, I've kind of been moving along in life, and I don't really have any examples of people who had the audacity to believe. And I would submit to you, and I'm going to go through a series of slides that will appear on the screen, and I'm going to tell you about some people who had the audacity to hope. And because, listen to this, because they had the audacity to hope, we are reaping the benefits of that. So just imagine, who is going to reap the benefits of you having the audacity to hope in 2017 and 2050? Who's going to reap the audacity or the benefits of you having the audacity to close your mouth and be quiet and listen to what God has to say to you in the year 2070? See, sometimes that's the problem. We're so narrow-minded. We're so focused on where we are in the current and present moment. But what we need to realize is, as we seek God, as we try to be all that God has called us to be, it's really not about us. It's for somebody else. You're reaping the benefits of your grandparents being obedient. You're reaping the benefits of your great-great-grandfather praying and getting on his knees before the Lord. And it would be a travesty before God that you left this earth and were not diligent in what God has called you to do at this point, because somebody years and years down that you may never meet, their life may be different as a result of your not being obedient. AJ, give me the first slide. This is Harriet Tubman. Everybody say Harriet Tubman. We are reaping the benefits of Harriet Tubman having the audacity to hope. Because I don't know about you, when I woke up, I was free this morning. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I didn't have to wake up and Master say to me, go out into the field and work from cane to cane and come back, and I may beat you in the process. Because Harriet Tubman had the audacity to hope, you're able to wake up in a free world. Next slide. Madam C.J. Walker, how many women, come on, be truthful. And men, how many of y'all got chemicals in your hair? Come on, tell the truth. Because this woman right here had the audacity to hope, my hair can look decent today. When you go to the hairdresser next time, you need to say, Madam C.J. Walker gave you a job. When you go to the barbershop and they start spraying that stuff on your hair, you be like, because Madam C.J. Walker, because she had the audacity to hope. You got a job today. Dudley Hair Care Products. They got jobs today. Because this woman had the audacity to hope that she could create something that would benefit us here in 2017. How many of y'all got shoes on? Everybody raise your hand if you got shoes on. This man right here is the reason, a black man, is the reason why you're able to have shoes on today. Because John Van Messlinger had the audacity to hope, he invented the shoemaking machine. So next time you go to Nike, next time you go to the Reebok factory, tell them, you got a job because a black man. Don't get it twisted. When you go to Cole Haan, or when you go to the Tommy Hilfiger outlet, or when you go to the any type of shoe outlet, tell them, that's a black man. Because a black man had the audacity to hope. You got a job. How many of you all drove here today? Let me see here. Everybody who drove here today. The reason why you were able to drive here today is because of this man right here, Garrett Morgan. Garrett Morgan had the audacity to hope and created the first traffic light. That's a black man. Next time you drive up to the traffic light, say, thank you, Garrett. I appreciate it. Because of you, I was able to get to church safely. I'm able to get to work safely. I'm able to get to school safely. Because you had the audacity in your lifetime to hope. I am reaping the benefits even today. Next slide. How many of y'all ride the bus? Ride the train system? The reason why you can do that is because she had the audacity to hope for something better. She had the audacity to hope that when she got on a train in the morning, when she got on a bus in the morning, that she was going to be able to sit down and rest her feet, not because of her color, but just because she was a human being. Next time you get on the train, say, thanks, Rosa. We appreciate it. Next slide. Anybody who's ever gotten a blood transfusion or gotten stuck with a needle or gotten anything needle related, this man had the audacity to believe that he can make progression in science and technology. Charles Drew, a black man. Y'all didn't know black people did all this, did you? That's okay. That's why you come to church, so you can learn something. So next time you go to the hospital, tell your doctor, you need to thank Charles Drew for your job. Next slide. Martin Luther King. The reason why affirmative action is happening, the reason why I can get a job anywhere I want, is because he had the audacity to believe that things needed to change. And truth be told, and I don't know if you know, Martin didn't want the job. That blows my mind when I realized that, and as I read his autobiographies and as I read books of his, he was like, I do not want the job. But they kept pressing him. They're like, Martin, there's something in you. We see something in you that's going to help us to get where it is that we're going. Can you imagine if he did not have the audacity to hope where we would be today? I'm going to let you sit and think about that. Next slide. Let me tell you how this works. Because all of those people on the previous slides had the audacity to hope, he was able to be our 44. And I had intended to add a slide on here with a question mark. What is going to be your stamp on history when they lay you out in the front of the church? When your grandchildren or your nieces or your nephews speak your name, what are they going to say that you had the audacity to do? That's heavy. Pastor Warner, 100 years from now, when Emory Grove is still in existence and still flourishing, what is going to be said about the people who were here at this place and at this time? What will they say that we had the audacity to do? Keeping in mind that what you're doing now is not about you. The doors that God are opening up are not about us. And I say this, please do not get to that point where you poke out your chest and say, well, we Emory Grove. No, indeed. Nowhere in this process as God is expanding us, nowhere in this process as God is growing us, will you ever have the audacity to say, that's my church. I did that. My tithes paid that. No, indeed. But because our foreparents had the audacity to believe, had the audacity to pray over us, had the audacity to whoop our behinds, God is shaping and molding us so that we can have the audacity for generations to come. That's the mind frame that we're moving to as a church. We're no longer stuck in what's going on right now. That's why I told you, Pastor Warren, I told everybody, pray for your pastor. Because God is speaking to him 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. But in order for him to continue to have the audacity to be all that God has called and created him to be, God is calling us to step up our game. God is calling us to begin to dream. God is calling us to begin to stretch. God is calling us to begin to stop complaining and stop worrying about what other people are going to think and stop looking around at what the haters have to say. Because God is moving in this place. And because we have the audacity, because it's rooted and grounded in faith, God can use us. It doesn't matter your education level. It doesn't matter where you were last night. It doesn't matter who you slept with last night. It doesn't matter what you were drinking last night that you weren't supposed to be drinking. It didn't matter where you had your hands last night that they had no place being. God can still use you. That's powerful. No matter how much you talk about people, no matter how much you cut people down, no matter how much you lie and cheat and backstab, God still can use you. And that's the message today. God has given us the audacity and the faith to hope so that we can continue to transform the world, love the community, and be committed to Christ. And I thank God that we serve a God that my sacrifice today is going to impact people who I will never meet, who I will never lay eyes on. But because of my obedience and because of my willingness to get in line with what God is calling us to do, somebody's life is going to be changed and transformed. I don't know about you. That's good news. So when I go through my mess, I can say, you know what, God, I'm okay. I'm okay. I may hurt, you know, I may have to walk with a limp, but I'm okay. You may have to spank me every once in a while, but I'm okay. I'm all right. Because I got faith. Next time you look at a balloon, look down at the base. And remember that as God is calling you to have the audacity to hope, that because you're rooted and you're grounded in faith, that everything's going to be all right. Let us stand to our feet. Amen.